Imagine like an 11-year-old kid, right?
Okay.
An 11-year-old kid and a retired aerospace engineer. And they are standing shoulder to shoulder in this massive winding line outside Tencent's headquarters in Shenzhen.
Just a totally wild visual right off the bat.
Right. And if you're picturing, I don't know, a queue for a new gaming console or like the latest smartphone drop, you can just scratch that. Because they aren't waiting for consumer hardware at all.
No, not even close.
They're waiting to install a highly complex command line AI developer tool on their personal laptops.
A developer tool that, frankly, the vast majority of the people standing in that line don't even know how to use once they actually get it installed.
Exactly. So welcome to this custom tailored deep dive. You brought us a truly fascinating piece of research today from the AI Field Note series. It's titled The Lobster Fever.
Yeah, it's a great one.
And our mission for you on this dive is to figure out how a single piece of open source software can basically rip reality in two.
It really is a tale of two realities.
Because, I mean, if you're listening to this in the US, you probably look at the Hacker News threads actively dismissing this exact same tool as like a total fad.
Yeah.
You'd see the mainstream media silence and you'd just assume the tech world was collectively shrugging it off.
Yeah, complete bifurcation. In the US, it's just ignored by the general public. But in China, it has triggered this nationwide mania. I mean, people are literally greeting each other on WeChat with the phrase, "Have you raised your lobster yet?"
Have you raised your lobster? It's so funny. But let's actually ground this for a second before we get into the whole mania part. What actually is this software that they're lining up for? The source material refers to it as MCP, right?
Right. So MCP stands for Model Context Protocol.
Okay.
And if we want to put that into plain English, think of MCP as like a universal plug or maybe a master
To
translator.
translate it for the AI.
Exactly. It allows an AI assistant to talk directly to your local personal files and applications. Yeah. So if you want your AI to securely read your local hard drive, analyze, say, a massive PDF, and then draft an email based on that specific data.
MCP is what lets it do that.
Yeah, MCP is the deep back-end plumbing that makes that secure connection possible.
Okay, so it's infrastructure, it's plumbing,
Literally plumbing.
which makes the visual of a housewife and an 11-year-old queuing up for it even more absurd to me. I mean, no one lines up outside Home Depot for a new type of PVC pipe, you know?
That is the absolute crux of this entire phenomenon, because the massive lines, the remote installation services booming overnight, people paying, what was it?
Like 998 RMB.
Right, 998 RMB for training courses that are literally just translated GitHub documentation.
Just crazy.
It's wild. But none of this is actually about a technological breakthrough or a knowledge gap.
Right, because the sources point out China has world-class AI engineers. They know exactly what MCP is and how it works.
Exactly. This whole situation is actually a masterclass in crowd psychology, cultural structure, and institutional economics.
Okay, so let's unpack the psychology first. Because asking someone if they've raised their lobster obviously isn't a genuine inquiry about their back-end digital plumbing.
Definitely not.
It feels like a proxy for something else entirely.
It absolutely is a proxy. When someone asks that, they are really asking, "Are you keeping up with the times?"
Ah, okay.
And to understand how a developer tool becomes a proxy for existential dread, the research points back to early crowd psychology, specifically Gustave Le Bon's foundational work from 1895.
Oh, wow. Going way back. The crowd, right?
Yes, exactly, the crowd. And his core insight was that when distinct individuals merge into a group, their rational, conscious judgment actually just shuts off.
It just disappears.
Yeah, it gets replaced by emotional contagion. Basically, crowds don't process logic, they process feelings.
So the retired aerospace engineer isn't standing in line doing a complex cost-benefit analysis of Node.js environments.
No, not at all. They are feeling this intense, vague fear of being left behind by the AI revolution. And the crowd offers a simple physical action to soothe that specific feeling.
I really love this framing because it grounds it in everyday behavior.
Yeah.
I mean, it's exactly like buying a ridiculously expensive gym membership on January 1st.
Oh, that's a great comparison.
Right. You aren't actually buying fitness, and you probably haven't even evaluated the brand of the treadmills they have. You're buying the feeling that you aren't falling behind in your own life. You are purchasing an identity
Yeah.
to manage your anxiety.
That is a perfect way to look at it. The mechanism is identical, but a crowd needs a spark to actually start running to that gym, so to speak.
A trigger.
Right. In information cascade theory, people will suppress their own individual judgment and just follow the herd if they receive a strong enough initial signal. And in this specific case in China, three distinct triggers fired off almost simultaneously.
And the very first trigger is just, it's a nickname.
Yeah, just a linguistic trigger. Yeah. Someone called this dense, intimidating protocol a little lobster.
Little lobster.
And the moment that happened, the cognitive barrier just vanished. It went from being, you know, intimidating infrastructure code to a cute, memeable cultural symbol.
It turns it into like a Tamagotchi.
Exactly. You don't need to know how to program an AI. You just need to participate in the lobster raising trend with everyone else.
Just feed it and raise it.
Yeah.
But a nickname alone isn't enough to get millions of people moving.
Yeah.
How do you go from a clever meme to a national frenzy?
Well, by having the biggest authorities in the room validate the meme. So the second trigger was unprecedented corporate alignment.
The tech giants.
Yeah, five fierce competitors, Tencent, Alibaba, ByteDance, JD.com, and Baidu. They all launched free installation campaigns almost at the exact same time.
Wow.
When the general public is uncertain about a new technology, they look to authority figures. So when five monolithic tech giants move in lockstep like that, it provides undeniable social proof.
Yeah, I mean, it's like if Apple, Google, Microsoft, Amazon, and Meta all suddenly told you to download the same obscure app on the exact same day.
I'd definitely do it.
You'd assume it was critical to your survival. And then the government stepped in too, right?
That is the third trigger. Policy endorsement backed by literal cash.
Cash, wow.
Local governments started offering massive subsidies to accelerate AI applications. The sources say Wuxi offered up to 5 million RMB. Shenzhen's Longgang district offered 2 million.
That's real money.
It really is.
Yeah.
You even had high-level academic and political officials publicly expressing anxiety about missing out. So you stack all those up, a lovable meme, unanimous corporate backing, and government legitimacy with millions attached. Once that cascade hits, the actual utility of the technology becomes completely irrelevant.
Which makes sense, because if you look at the U.S., none of those three things happen.
Yeah.
There's no cute nickname, no coordinated cloud push, and definitely no federal subsidies for downloading a GitHub repository.
No, absolutely nothing like that.
But here is where I'm going to push back on the premise a little bit. Because if you're listening to the U.S. right now, you know Americans are definitely anxious about AI taking their jobs.
Oh, for sure.
We hear it everywhere.
Yeah.
So why aren't Americans lining up outside tech headquarters? If the FOMO is universal, why is the resulting behavior so radically different?
That is a great question, and it requires us to look at the cultural and economic soil where this seed was planted. Culturally, China is highly collectivist, while the U.S. indexes as, well, the most individualistic society in the world.
Okay, so how does that affect software?
Well, in a collectivist culture, your decisions are intrinsically tied to your social network and your professional peers.
So adopting technology isn't just a personal productivity choice for them.
No, it's a critical social signal. It's deeply tied to the concept of mianzi, or face.
Yes, right.
Technology adoption is status. If everyone in your professional circle is talking about their lobster, and you aren't just out of the loop, you're actively losing face. The safest bet is to preemptively adopt the technology just to protect your social standing.
Whereas in the U.S.?
In the U.S., it's the inverse. Being the vocal skeptic on a hyped tech trend often earns you social capital in places like Hacker News.
Right. Everyone wants to be the guy saying it won't work.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the social pressure is structurally higher. But the source material also digs into something much heavier here, which is the youth unemployment rate.
Yeah, the economic soil is arguably the most important factor of all this. In October 2024, youth unemployment in China hit 17.1%.
17.1? That's massive.
And there are over 12 million new graduates entering the workforce in 2025. This intense societal bottleneck has led to concepts like Tangping, which translates to lying flat.
And we should clarify for you listening, lying flat isn't about laziness or, like, giving up. The sources point out it's a completely rational cognitive response to a structural impasse.
Exactly.
When the traditional paths to success,
you
know, acing the exams, buying real estate, networking, when those stop yielding results, people logically just stop playing the game.
Right. The baseline anxiety isn't just, will I find a job? It's an existential crisis of individual value. So when a new narrative arrives promising to change your fate in the AI era, it lands like a spark in dry tinder.
So they buy the course.
Yeah. Buying that 998 RMB AI course isn't an irrational mistake by a gullible consumer. It is what the researchers brilliantly call a ritual of agency.
I really want to pause on that phrase, a ritual of agency. That is profound. It means they are purchasing the feeling of control.
They are taking a tangible action to soothe the psychological panic of helplessness.
Right.
The U.S. tech sector has its layoffs, sure, but the overall economic security and compensation in the industry provide a massive buffer. Most Americans simply don't feel their fundamental economic survival depends on mastering a trending GitHub repository this week.
Okay, so we have the cultural anxiety and we have the intense economic pressure. But anxiety doesn't just naturally spread to millions of people simultaneously without some serious digital plumbing.
Right, the infrastructure.
Yeah, how does an obscure framework actually reach the retired aerospace engineer in the first place?
Through what the sources call the amplifier stack. China has a highly specific four-pillar digital infrastructure that artificially supercharges this panic. And the first pillar is WeChat itself.
Which is fundamentally different from how we consume information in the West. If Twitter or X is a massive, chaotic public square where everyone is shouting at strangers,
yeah,
WeChat is more like your private living room.
That's a really vital distinction. WeChat is a closed, high-trust environment. Information comes forwarded by your aunt or your former boss or your best friend.
People you actually know.
Exactly. But because it's a closed living room, it creates a phenomenon called the spiral of silence.
Interesting.
The rational skepticism we saw on Hacker News in the U.S., it is structurally excluded. It never gets forwarded into the family group chat because it doesn't carry the emotional weight of a trusted friend's warning.
So it's an echo chamber built on personal trust. What's the second pillar?
The algorithm of Douyin, which is China's version of TikTok. The algorithm relentlessly optimizes for completion rates and engagement. Now, imagine two videos. One is a software engineer calmly explaining that MCP is just a back-end protocol for developers and you don't need to worry about it.
Sounds boring.
Right. The other is someone yelling, if you don't use AI today, you will be obsolete tomorrow.
I mean, the panic video is going to get watched all the way to the end.
Overwhelmingly. The algorithm learns that anxiety retains attention, so it systematically suppresses rational, boring analysis and rockets fear-based content out of the tech circles and straight into the daily feeds of shop owners and farmers.
And this brings us to the people actually making those panic videos, the creators. This is the third pillar of the stack, right? The self-media landscape?
Yes, and they are caught in a vicious prisoner's dilemma. In the U.S., a tech writer on Substack monetizes via long-term trust. If they hype up a scam or a fake trend, they lose their subscribers. Exaggeration has a high financial cost.
But in this specific ecosystem,
monetization happens almost instantly through core sales and traffic shares. There is zero penalty for exaggeration. The sources highlight a Chinese creator who made 175 million RMB in 3 years selling AI courses that investigated journalists later found were mostly just thin advertisements.
175 million.
Yeah. When the algorithm only rewards panic and the monetization is instant, even rational creators are forced to peddle hype or they simply go bankrupt.
Wow. And then there's the fourth pillar, which might be the most wild part of this entire amplifier stack, honestly. The stock market itself?
The A-share market. To put this in perspective, the U.S. stock market is heavily institutional. Everyday retail investors make up roughly 4% of the trading volume.
Right.
China's A-share market. It is 99.76% retail investors.
Wait, 99.76%. It's almost entirely everyday people trading.
Entirely. And their average holding period is about 30 days compared to over 10 months in the U.S.
Oh, wow. So it's super fast.
Very fast. This creates a market that is structurally hypersensitive to narratives and momentum. You get the phenomenon of lobster concept stocks. A company like uCloud saw its stock jump by the 20% daily limit in just 11 minutes simply because they released a vague statement saying they were monitoring the framework.
So the entire national infrastructure, the messaging apps, the video algorithms, the creator economy, and the actual stock market. It's all perfectly tuned to turn a minor tech update into a massive financial panic.
It is an impeccably designed machine for manufacturing FOMO.
Which leads to the obvious question. If everyday people are just soothing their anxiety with rituals of agency and retail investors are just chasing hype, who is actually cashing the checks here?
Well, there's a satirical infographic from the Chinese internet going around that the sources mentioned. It's brilliantly accurate. It lists the 10 problems the framework solved, and not a single one is a user problem. They are all stakeholder problems.
So if you're listening, the grand irony here is that the users think they're installing an AI to do their work, but the AI companies are actually putting the users to work. How are they extracting value? Let's talk about the tokens.
Right. The token black hole is massive. Running these AI agents requires incredible computational power, measured in tokens. A single active session can burn through 200,000 tokens.
That's huge.
To put that in perspective, that's like processing the entire text of The Great Gatsby three times over just to execute a few commands. The AI company Minimax generated more token revenue in 20 days off this framework hype than they did in their entire previous year.
They aren't selling a useful tool. They are manufacturing massive usage spikes so they can show venture capitalists a chart that goes up and to the right.
Exactly. And while users are burning tokens, they're also acting as unpaid data labelers.
How does that work?
Well, every time a user runs the agent, hits an error, and corrects it, they are providing incredibly valuable reinforcement learning data back to the company. It is a massive, free, crowdsourced labor force.
What about the cloud providers? You know, the Tencent and Alibaba is offering the free installations. Why give it away?
It's a battle for DAU daily active users. Tencent wants to bind this AI to WeChat. Alibaba wants to bind it to DingTalk. It's not about who has the smartest AI. It's about who owns the portal. Think of it like building a massive private toll road. They will hand you the car for free, the software installation, because they know you have to pay them for every single mile of asphalt you drive on the cloud computing servers.
So Tencent's stock jumps. The AI companies get free data and massive token revenue. The core sellers make millions, and the retired aerospace engineer gets a confusing command line interface and a token bill they can't even afford.
The house always wins.
Now, we can easily sit back, look at this, and say, well, the American tech sector is just more rational. But the sources make it clear that it's a dangerous trap, isn't it?
Oh, it's completely inaccurate. American retail investors and tech circles are just as susceptible to manias. Look at the GameStop frenzy. Or look at January 2025 when NVIDIA's market cap dropped nearly $600 billion in a single day, all because a Chinese company published an academic paper on an AI model.
Right. So the skepticism on Hacker News isn't American rationality. It's just the behavior of a specific elite developer circle.
Exactly. The key difference isn't rationality. It's the channel the panic flows through. In the U.S., the FOMO is what the research calls investor grade. It stays concentrated in financial assets, venture capital rounds, and stock prices.
And in China?
In China, the FOMO is consumer grade. It spills over the walls of finance and penetrates daily life, group chats, and physical cues on the street. It looks different, but the underlying psychological substance is identical.
And according to the sources, this isn't even a one-off event in China. This happens on a highly predictable schedule.
Yeah, a 3 to 4 year cycle that perfectly tracks with employment crises. In the 1980s, during major economic shifts, there was Qigong fever. People were literally sitting in public squares with aluminum pots on their heads trying to catch cosmic energy to change their luck.
Wait, pots on their heads? Really?
Yep.
Yes.
And then fast forward. In 2017, amid industrial restructuring, you had blockchain mania. In 2021, during the pandemic shock, the metaverse frenzy. And now, in 2026, amid the youth employment crisis, lobster agents. The core structure never changes. It's real technology, amplified by algorithmic anxiety, chased by retail investors, exploited by a training industry, and subsidized by local governments.
So let's bring this all together. The underlying code of MCP is real. It works. But the mass societal movement built on top of it is essentially a mirage.
Yeah.
The structural amplifiers, the algorithms that prioritize fear, the economic impasses that drive people to rituals of agency, the creator's lock in a prisoner's dilemma, those are permanent. Next time, the technology will be different. The meme will be different. But the frenzy will be exactly the same.
The container remains intact, waiting for the next liquid to be poured in.
I want to thank you, the listener, for bringing us this one today.
Yeah.
It's a brilliant reminder that looking at a piece of software through the lens of psychology and economics reveals the hidden wiring of an entire society.
You really cannot separate the tool from the culture that uses it.
Which leaves us with a final thought to mull over. We spent this whole time discussing how a relatively simple piece of open source plumbing dropped into two different realities creates two entirely different worlds. Well, what happens when we eventually achieve AGI, artificial general intelligence?
Oh, that's the big question.
Right. If the cultural, economic, and algorithmic infrastructures of the East and West are this radically different, will we end up with fundamentally different versions of superintelligence? Not because the underlying source code is different, but because the societal algorithms training it are worlds apart.
That is a profound question to walk away with.
Until next time, keep diving deep.